Ich interessiere mich wirklich sehr für Simulacron. Stimmt das, dass Sie damit eine künstliche Welt gebaut haben?
Welt ist ein bisschen übertrieben. Wir sind jetzt bei etwa 10.000 Identitätseinheiten. Das reicht für unsere Zwecke. Die Welt in der Nussschale, verstehen Sie?
10.000 Menschen? Das sind doch Menschen, oder?
Wie man es nimmt. Für uns sind das natürlich nur Schaltkreise, aber Sie selbst. Sie selbst leben wie wir, bauen Straßen, hören Musik, essen.
Und schlafen miteinander.
Auch das. Schlafen miteinander. Haben Spaß. Bekommen Kinder.
World on a Wire, Rainer Werner Fassbinder's two-part 1973 German television miniseries, a meditative thriller, really, on simulated realities, is a flat-out masterpiece. It's a perfect example of what scholar Darko Subin calls the novum, when the scientifically new, the previously unimaginable, becomes real. It opens us up to what Subin calls cognitive estrangement, what can sometimes be a radical reshaping or reframing of how we view reality and ourselves. Just as the invention of the clock allowed the space for people to think of their universe as a clockwork mechanism, right? Think of the work of Kepler and Galileo. The invention of the computer, a machine that simulates processes, compels us to consider our world might be a simulation. We see the explosion of this line of thought coming on the heels of computers entering mainstream popular culture. World on a Wire was based on the novel Simulacron 3, released in 1964. It shares similarities with the work of other authors such as Philip K. Dick's Time Out of Joint from 1959 and his later Ubik from 1969, all work that postulates that what we think of as reality is in fact a fiction. Let's look at how Fassbinder explores and details the idea of the simulation in World on a Wire and how he so very clearly portrays cognitive estrangement. For is there any other film you can think of in which the characters, especially the main character, are so estranged, cast off, unmoored from their world as they realize the truth of things? Right away, the film tells us we're not in the real world. The opening shot showing a car approaching the technology company IKZ is shot from a great distance away with a telephoto lens. This has the effect of flattening everything you see in the frame. Notice how the car doesn't grow greatly in size as it comes towards you as it would in real life. This flattening is telling us that we're in an almost two-dimensional world. After this opening shot, the real complexities of Fassbinder and cinematographer Michael Ballhaus become clear. World on a Wire takes us back to the earliest days of cinema. Intriguingly, while the film is futuristic, or at least powered by this novum of the computer that changes our conception, our frame of reality, it harkens back to the beginning of another novum, the invention of the motion picture, in that the two parts of the show can work as silent cinema. With its use of reflective surfaces, objects consistently and constantly obscuring the frame, bold camera movements that harken back to the small, lightweight cameras of the pre-sound age, the heightened expressions of the actors. It doesn't matter what the actors actually say. The film communicates its paranoia, its upended view of our world, through pure cinema alone. In this way, the film works in an almost pre-conscious way, in an almost pre-spoken language way. It gets under our skin and makes us doubt the world around us. Notice not just the camera movements, but how the actors act and who they represent. Notice that we have a focus on a Marlene Dietrich impersonator who crops up several times throughout the series. Why? At the point this film was made, Dietrich had already become a parody of herself, imitating herself on stage. And in World on a Wire, we get an imitation of an imitation. And notice this, it's the same performer, the same Marlena, as a waitress later on in the film, but our characters don't notice. People act strangely throughout World on a Wire because they don't realize they're in a simulation. They don't realize that their emotional lives are stunted. They're NPC characters in a video game. Not too many lines of code used, except for people like Fred Stiller, modeled as he was on his Up There version. Another simulated reality movie, The Matrix, used the same technique, using twins, for instance, in certain crowd scenes to show how computers were saving processing power. As an aside, we can look at a novum subset, as it were, of the computer reframing breakthrough. Look at how the concept of virtual reality peaked around 1997. This is the same year, roughly, that three films similar to World on a Wire, The Matrix, Dark City, and another adaptation of Simulacrum 3, The 13th Floor, would have been in production. There's cognitive estrangement all around. But in World on a Wire, the characters continue until they don't. They're all trapped by their reflections, unable to break through their transparencies. Though hero Fred Stiller tries to help. In fact, here we see he actually throws another character through a transparency. We see the same dynamic happen in the famous fight scene in They Live, when the hero tries to convince an associate that they too live in a fake world, just beyond our sight. So the characters are trapped. One lives in a flat surrounded by fish tanks, and then when the truth of his existence, if you can call it that, becomes inescapable, he dives into his own tank, taking his own so-called life. But at the end, not all is lost. Incredibly, World on a Wire ends on a happy note. Our hero escapes, even though he's pursued by everyone. Notice in this shot, for instance, how similar it is to that other great tale of a man realizing he's surrounded by simulations of his community, 1956's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But our hero, Fred Stiller, gets out, saved by a real woman who loves him. And notice how in the end of the film, as Stiller is finally freed, there are no more objects obscuring the frame. It's an open room. No more mirrors everywhere. There's carpeting that matches the thick wool the characters are wearing. They're like Adam and Eve in the garden. They're free from worry that they are not real. They exist, as Fred says at the end, I am. Ich bin. I am. There's a way through cognitive estrangement. Through estrangement. The way through is love.
Wie kann ein wirklicher Mensch jemanden lieben, der künstlich ist?
Ganz einfach. Weil du jemandem gleichst, den ich mal geliebt habe. Oh.
Wer war das?
Das ist... Nun, ihr würdet ihn technischen Direktor nennen. Er ist für unser Simulationsmodell zuständig.
Sieh an. Wie heißt der Mann?
Fred Stiller.
Fred Stiller.